All right, welcome to part one of a brand new series on a brand new year called Selfless. Aren't you excited about all the things that are happening here? We got on the table, they're going on at Crosspoint. Come on, yeah. I was thinking there's a lot to that Crosspoint news today, and a shout out to the guy that you saw on there. He's doing a great job with a lot of passion for Jesus, and I'm so proud of him. Amen. And I also give a shout out to him along with a bunch of other guys, Tanner and my wife Kim and Randy, of course, always Mr. Faithful. If you want to know what faithful looks like, you look up the word faithful in the dictionary, you'll see a picture in there beside the word faithful. It's Randy Miller. I just give a strong shout out to him and all that he does all the time. As we've worked outside to get things improved, perhaps you've noticed a lot of changes, improvements. We're not through yet, but we're in the process of redoing our parking lot. Also, we've had some guys, Dwayne and Femi as well, added to this list as well, helping us get wait a minute, there's one more summer. I'm trying to think of who all I'm forgetting here, okay? But Dwayne Dunham, yes, there he is, who helped us with the fence area over here. That we're getting ready for the Behavior Health and Wellness Center, who works with special needs children right next to us in our building. Yesterday, they put some mulch in, or this week, they put some mulch in, and we're getting that ready. We're going to be staining that fence. It's going to be shaping up really nice. A lot of hard work being done around here. Like I say, more to come. We're working on the outside. We're working our way on to the inside. We've got a lot of things that we're believing God for, and so we can do all these things because you've been faithful to the Lord and faithful in your giving, and just want you to see what's happening with what you're giving the church and what we're able to do. And all this that we're doing, it's not just parking lot, not just gravel, not just those changes, but all of this is translates into reaching people. That's what it's all about, right, everybody? It's reaching people and in terms of eternity. So thank you for all that you do. And our focus is on people. Our focus is on worshiping God and loving God, but also then out from that flows a love for people, and we want to make a difference in people's lives. And so that's why we are focusing on the beginning of this year, on our 21 days of prayer and fasting. This is something we've been doing for a number of years now, where we set that up first. And so I want to encourage you with this. And if you've never fasted before, as you heard on the Crosspoint News, there are some resources available to you online at our website. You can find it there, very easy to navigate on our website. You can go to crosspointworshipcenter.com/21days. And there you can find all these resources that will really help you, some tools as you do fasting. And I would say, if you've never fasted before, if you're going to do a fast of food, make sure that you consult and follow any physician's restrictions and instructions regarding that. Make sure you stay healthy. It's not about being a martyr or punishing yourself, but it's simply about pulling aside from those things that we normally give attention to, that we can give greater attention to focusing on those things that are spiritual. What fasting does, it sort of separates you from being drawn to the earthly and gets you refocused on the heavenly and on the eternal, right? Because these things are temporary, and the Bible says we're not to focus on the temporary, but on those things that are eternal. And setting aside a time of prayer and fasting really helps us do that. And so it may be that you're fasting a certain food item. It may be a partial fast you're doing. It may be from sun up to sundown. It may be a 21 days of prayer and fasting, such as Daniel modeled, called the Daniel fast, where you fast and you just eat fruits and vegetables and you abstain from bread and meats and those things. But however the Lord calls you to fast, and whatever you feel like you can do. For some of you, it may be a real sacrifice. It may be not just fasting food. It may be abstinence of certain things like social media. That would probably be a real sacrifice for some of us, you know, and get off Facebook. So somebody asked me the other day, I'm thinking about letting go of Facebook for 21 days. I said, it's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to get in between you and the Lord. Do whatever you want to do. But just kind of detoxing. Sometimes we just need to detox. And there's some things that attach to us at times that we don't even realize. Physically, it's probably even good to detox from a physical standpoint. Doctors even say at times it's good to do that and cleanse the body. But more importantly, we want to cleanse the soul and cleanse our spirit, because sometimes there's even some bad spirits that attach to us. And I believe that we need to have a new spirit called the Holy Spirit come in and reside and take control, and then our life will be one of peace, right? And God will be able to use us in amazing, amazing ways. You know, as we talk about this new year, a lot of us will set goals and we have resolutions that we'll make. And I know that it's good to do those things. But more than likely, the New Year's resolutions that we set are ones that are very inward focused, right? Inward focus. We focus on ourselves. And by the way, let me pause right here because I don't want to just keep rolling here without pausing. I talked about social media. Can I just welcome all those that are joining us online today? We're so glad to have you along for the ride. We're so glad you're here. Yes. Many people join us each and every week from different places. We have people that are scattered sometimes from coast to coast and outside the coastline. And we're just so glad that you're here with us today. But as we jump into this installment of this series, I recognize that when we talk about New Year's resolutions, a lot of them are very much about ourselves. It's about self-improvement. So we begin a new year and we want to lose weight. And when you're, especially when you're about to have a 21 days of fasting and prayer and fasting, I mean, it's just a great motivator in that regard. I know that's not the goal. The goal is spiritual, but there's a benefit that comes along with that. I said last week, kind of prepare yourself, get off the caffeine. You know, you don't eat a big meal before you fast. You kind of taper off if you're doing a fasting of food. And now, but if you're like me and it's Christmas time and you've gotten all those gifts, you know, what do they give you? They give you candy and they give you all this stuff. And I told my kids, I said, I've got a whole bunch of stuff to get rid of by midnight tonight. I mean, you know, that's probably not the best way to do that. You know, I had chocolate covered cherries and all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, but we think about losing weight. We think about exercising more, about getting out of debt. We got to clean the house or renovate the house. All those things, but a lot of them are about improving ourselves, and I think that's good to do that, but don't limit your New Year's resolutions to self. The tragedy is, oftentimes, we focus so much on ourselves, but we forget about focusing on God, and we forget about focusing on others. And so, I would say that at times, we are so focused on ourselves, and instead of surrendering to His will and what God wants, we use God as a tool to get what we want from Him. God, bless me this year. Help me and protect me and make my life better and make me happier and make me richer. And then when it doesn't go our way and it doesn't turn out right and we ask God for help, for help, for help, for me, for me, for me, then we say, well, it didn't. And then we're disappointed. We say, well, we tried God. We tried church. It didn't work. It didn't help me. But I want to present to us in this series that perhaps we need to think this all in a different way. And that instead of being self-centered, we need to have we need to be selfless instead of selfish, right? And I want to take us to a scripture. If you got your message notes there, I got some blanks you can fill in, and we'll move through this together. But in Matthew chapter 16, the Bible has a whole different way of us living our life than to just live our life for ourselves. From Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said to His disciples, whoever wants to be My disciple must, look at this, deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Me. We've all got a cross to bear. It's not always easy. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Me will find it. So if you're all about you, you're probably not going to find the peace that you're looking for. You're probably not going to be fully fulfilled if you're always trying to satisfy yourself. But when you turn that around and you lose your life, you'll discover your life. You'll discover fulfillment. You'll discover peace and satisfaction is really what He's saying there. It goes on to say in verse 26, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? So what are we focused on? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Verse 27 says, for the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what they have done. Now, we know we get into heaven strictly on the merits of what Jesus did. It's by faith in Him. It's by grace, unmerited favor, nothing we've done. It's all Jesus that we get to heaven. But once we have received Jesus, there's some things that God's called us to do. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you some rewards about how you have lived your life for me. And so that day is coming. And so Jesus is saying, are we focusing on what matters? And so are we focusing just on ourselves? Are we really denying ourselves and focusing on those things that really, really matter? So just to help you know kind of where we're going in this series today, I'm going to talk about being bold in witness as we live selfless lives. And then we're going to talk about next week, faithful in service. And then part three, extravagant in generosity. And part four, grateful in the grind. And so what we're simply going to do in this series is we're going to say, Lord, use me to reach more. Even if I'm left out and it seems ridiculous and I'm ridiculed, yet, Lord, I want to reach out more. Use me to serve more, to show love, even if it makes me uncomfortable. Enable me to give more, to bless others, even if I have to make personal sacrifices. And empower me to do everything for your glory, even if it pushes me. What we understand through Scripture and through our faith in following Jesus is that we exist for others. And I want to declare that as a church, to remind us as a church, because there's this gravitational pull that we say, well, what about me? What about me? And we start turning to ourselves, and what about my needs and me getting fed? And, you know, when you hear somebody say, well, I just got to get fed, and I got to get more for me. Can I tell you that if you'll focus more on others, that's your solution, because you'll get fed in the process, because God's going to feed you, because he needs to feed that person you're reaching. And, yes, we need to take care of ourselves, but I'm going to tell you, there's something about turning that thing around and understanding that we exist for others. So we're not about just having our party, our club of four no more, inside our four walls. No, we're a church that is about reaching others and what happens outside of these walls. In fact, everything we do on Sunday morning is designed for others. It's not just about us. So we're always thinking about how we can affect and help others. And let me just put it to you this way. Being selfless is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Write that down if you would. Being selfless is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. And really, as I think about it, it's a difference between maturity and immaturity. The immature person says, me, 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 me. The mature person says, you, 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 you. That's what helps marriages survive. That's what helps marriages get healthy and relationships get healthy. It's not about me. No, that's called lust. Me, 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 me. I'm lusting for what I want. I covet for what I want. Love is, let me think about the other one. What can I do for the other one, right? And so it's really a matter of maturity. In fact, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 22, when they asked him what was the greatest commandment, his reply was this. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, which this is the first and greatest commandment. But then he did a follow-up. He said, the second is like it. And really the follow-up is an overflow from what you do first. You love God, and then this is what's going to happen. Have you ever met somebody who's come to Christ for the very first time, and all of a sudden, it's not about them. They want to find the next person and tell the next person and get to somebody else and love that person that they used to hate and go and ask. I mean, it changes everything, because when you fall in love with Jesus, here's what happens. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So again, it's turning that thing around. In fact, Jesus himself declared this as well. And he says, do to others as you would have them do to you. We know that. It's the golden rule. Do to others first. And then in Matthew 20 and 28, he's declared that he demonstrates this. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he came to serve, and then he calls us to that as well. As he follows the Father, Jesus follows the Father, what God's called him to do, then he calls us into that same ministry to minister and to serve others. So God sent his lost son, not for those that are found, but for the lost. He sent his son for those that are healthy, but those that are sick, right? And God sends us. So it's not about us. It's about the love of the Father reaching people through us. I want us to understand that up front. So in 2020, we are called to be servants of God so others may do this. This is why this installment is so important about being bold in witness, because we are called so that others may, and these are the four things that we do as a church, so that others may know God, so that others may find freedom, so that others may discover their purpose, so that others may make a difference for eternity's sake, for this year and for the sake of eternity. So we're called to be bold in witness. I want us to just look at this. The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years. And they saw him heal the sick and open blinded eyes. They saw him raise the dead. But then he began to tell them that he was going to give his life and he was going to die, which they didn't fully understand as we understand today, but that he would be raised the third day to new life. And Jesus suffered brutally on the cross. He was dead for 3 days. But there was a Sunday evening after the crucifixion that the disciples, you know, you would think, okay, Jesus told them, gave them the news, he was coming back. Were they out preaching saying, hey, Jesus is coming back, he's coming back, he's going to be raised from the dead? No. Where do you find the disciples? Well, in John chapter 20 and verse 19, it says, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, so it's on Sunday evening, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. So they were not in a place of boldness, but they were in a place of fearfulness, fearing for their lives, fearing the Jewish leaders. And I want to just pause right here and think about this. As followers of Christ, are we bold in our witness, or are we in a place of hiding and fearful to be bold in our witness? Are we fearful? Why don't we share our faith in Christ? And it may be that we feel like we don't know enough. It may be that we feel like we don't want to be that Christian that's up in people's face and say, if you die, if you know today that if you died, will you go to heaven? And we just, you know, kind of, we don't want to be that Christian that offends people. We don't want to be that Christian that gets ridiculed. And so we're afraid. And I get that. I understand that. But look at what it goes on to say. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, when the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, look what happens. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Suddenly, everything changed. Jesus walked into the room. The guy they saw being crucified, the guy that they knew was buried in the tomb, it's now walking in the room. The doors were shut. Now this guy could walk through walls. We won't get into all that, but that's amazing, because the same guy could eat fish on the shore after his resurrection, and yet he could walk through walls. Don't try to explain it. I'm just telling you. It's amazing. So the guy shows up. Jesus shows up inside the room. He appears before them, and everything changed. They realize that Jesus is alive. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I love it, because the first thing he said was, peace, you know, peace out. I know you're freaking out right now, but peace, peace out, that I'm with you. He was saying peace, and then after he presented himself and showed his hands, his feet, the place in his side, then there was great joy that filled the room. Now, and interesting, at one point they were filled with great fear, and the next moment they were filled with great joy. We see, as we look at this, as we study this, as we read the scripture, when they realized that Jesus was alive, everything changed. And we see a group of disciples go from being timid to being bold, from being selfish to being selfless. We see Peter preaching and 3,000 repent. We see them imprisoned and preaching to guards while they're in prison, and people in the prison getting saved. We see them suffer and continue to be bold. Here's what I want us to note. You might want to write this down. We speak boldly what we believe deeply. They knew Jesus was alive, and they spoke boldly what they believed deeply. The disciples saw Jesus. They saw Jesus. They experienced him. They realized that he was alive. Interestingly, Thomas was not in that group at that first appearance when they saw Jesus. But then Jesus appears again to a second time to Thomas, when Thomas had said, look, unless I can put my hands in his side, my fingers in his palm of his hand, I won't believe. And Jesus said, put your hand He appeared to him and said, don't be doubting, but believe. And so here the disciples saw Jesus and they believed. Thomas now saw Jesus and they believed. But what about us? Is he going to appear in this room to us today? And it's wonderful because we're actually included in this story. Because after Thomas came around and believed on him, Jesus said this. He told them, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed. Notice, we believe boldly what we believe deeply. And how is it that Jesus, we're going to get into this and we're going to unpack this a little bit more. Just follow this for just a moment. But we see that Jesus does, we're able to experience Jesus, but in a different way than the disciples did, so that we too may believe. But what I want to underscore here is, again, that we speak boldly what we believe deeply. You know, if we've got a new car and we think it's the best car, whatever, I mean, we just love that car, we're going to take somebody to it, we're going to tell them about it, we're going to go to work, we're going to talk about that car, we're going to talk about the features of that car, we're going to talk about what that car can do, it can walk and talk. We had somebody move from here to California and they were telling me about this van that they bought. And they said, man, I'm telling you, it can sense cars coming up beside you. And we just talk about it. We speak boldly about those things that we believe deeply. We go to a restaurant, right? And it's just this amazing experience, and we come back and we tell somebody about the restaurant and what all and how good the food was and the service was and the environment was, and you need to try it. Why do we speak boldly about those things that we believe deeply? I mean, for some of us, it's a pair of shoes. For some of us, it's a movie that we've seen, or you know, some of us, you know, some of y'all seen Star Wars, and you want to go see Star Wars, whatever. What we speak boldly is what we believe deeply. Listen, Peter spoke boldly because he believed very deeply in the powerful name of Jesus, and it's recorded in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And Peter is preaching, and he's saying to them, he says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter. If you've got that in your notes, underline that word or circle that. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures, and they recognized them as men who had, look at this, who had been with Jesus. So they remarked at them because no longer are they cowering in fear, but they have tremendous, tremendous boldness. So I got to ask the question, how amazed are people by your boldness for Christ? I mean, don't put 10, that's Jesus, okay? But, you know, somewhere between 0 and 10, like 0 would be, I'm not sure if people at my work even know I'm a Christian. I'm hiding it pretty well. They can't tell. Or I'm inviting people to church, or I'm bringing people to church, or I've never really done that. You know, where on that scale do you think you would fall? Where would people rate you as far as being amazed at your boldness for Christ? It's something to think about. And then there's another question, and that is, how then do we become bold in our witness? And I'm going to give you four things this morning I think will really help us, very practical things. I want you to write these down if you could. Number one. First of all and foremost, the first step in that is believing on Jesus. So when Jesus appeared to the disciples, they went from being full of fear, being full of joy, and it turned into great boldness because they realized the reality hit them that Jesus was alive. Again, Thomas wasn't there, but later Jesus appeared and he became a believer as well. But so he appeared to the disciples, he appeared to Thomas, but you say, yeah, well, if he would walk in here, then that would change everything for me too. If I could just see him. You know, sometimes we don't know what we've asked for. I heard, you know, some people say, if I could just see an angel, if an angel would show up, then I'd really believe. I heard of a pastor one time, he said he was walking down the hall to the bathroom, and he thought an angel was in front of him. It scared him to death. He was shaking, his knees were trembling. It ended up being a tall vacuum cleaner that somebody had left there in the hall and the lights were out and he didn't know what it was. But anyway, and after he was scared to death, he turned around and didn't need to go to the bathroom anymore and went back to bed. Anyway, Sometimes we don't know what we're asking for. We say, well, if Jesus would just appear, would just show up to us. But can I tell you that he does appear to us? He does appear to us because Jesus included us in this story, and he said, you've seen and believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I'm hesitant to use an illustration from the Santa Claus movie, okay? But in the Santa Claus movie, there's a great line where the new Santa Claus is seeing the North Pole and polar bears directing traffic, and he says, I see it, but I still don't believe it. And the little elf there that's 100-some years old says, you don't understand. Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. And I thought, yeah, I'll grab that nugget out of that, okay? All right. The Bible says we're not to live by sight, but we're to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And how does that faith occur? Because the Holy Spirit is involved in revealing who Jesus Christ is. There is a revelation that is brought to us through the Holy Spirit to reveal who Jesus is. It is the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says you can't come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draw you. So it's the Holy Spirit that opens your eyes or removes whatever scale or whatever hindrance that is where it's blocking, where you can't see who he is, and suddenly you say, oh my goodness, he's real. He's alive. He's not dead. He's not a story on a page. Jesus is alive, and he becomes alive to us. And it happens to us through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And so we believe the Word, and we believe by the Spirit illuminating and revealing to us by faith in who Jesus Christ is. And therefore, Jesus says in John 20 and 29, blessed are those, that's us, come on everybody, that's exciting, who have not seen and yet have believed. And so we encounter Jesus by faith. We have an encounter that happens not just visually on the outside, but there's something that happens and takes place on the inside, and we encounter Jesus too. We encounter truth, and then that truth sets us free. It sets us free from fear. It sets us free from worry. It changes our whole perspective on all of life because now we recognize that there is something to this. It's not just a religious thing that people do. No, this thing is real. I remember talking to a friend of mine who came to faith and believed in Jesus, his whole family. And he said, you don't understand. We are so excited. I mean, back in those days, this is back in probably, I don't know, maybe the 80s or 90s, but they had cassette tapes. If I know what those are. I mean, they were buying every cassette tape of the preacher that he preached, like for every message, because they were so, they had never, he said, you don't understand. This may be old hack to you, but to us, everything has changed. What changed? Because the veil came off. They recognized who Jesus was. They accepted him in their life, and everything changed. Can I tell you that we can encounter Jesus, but this boldness starts by believing on Jesus. You can't skip that part. Number two, we must spend time with Jesus. We must spend time with Jesus. So, Acts 4 and 13, they were amazed by the disciples' boldness, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. And look at this. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. First of all, it says that they recognized them as ordinary men. They were just regular people. They were unschooled. One translation of that uses the word, and the translation of that is idiots. I hate to be rude, but they basically looked at them and said, these are a bunch of idiots. And yet God is using these idiots to speak boldly, and they said they must have been with Jesus. I think God loves taking the common, those that no one considers worthy and could do anything. God takes them so that he may manifest his glory, so that they won't get the glory, but they'll recognize it's not them, it's God. Amen? I just think that's what God does. So he takes ordinary men. So I just got to say, that includes me. So thank God he uses idiots. Amen. He uses ordinary people with no special training in the Scriptures. And yet, when we spend time with Jesus, everything changes. So when we spend more time with Jesus, it will give us boldness. It will give us boldness. So So when we don't spend time with Jesus, we get distracted. We get spiritually distracted. We get consumed with things of the world. And so we're more interested in things that really don't matter. You know, we get passionate about our football team and we scream like the world's going to come to an end because our team lost. And we're focused on that. And when we're focused on fashion and we're focused on social media, and what happens is we start focusing on those things when we don't spend time with Jesus. And I'm not saying it's okay to have those things as long as those things don't have you. It's okay to have interest and passions. But when we are so consumed by things and yet somehow we're not spending time with Jesus, we become spiritually apathetic. And it seemed like God was telling me in the middle of this message, this point right here, it just kind of illuminated for me that we become sometimes spiritually distracted with things. And I just had the thought that perhaps much of what maybe we have been through or going through is not necessarily about us, but perhaps we're going through some things because there's a strategy to distract us from what really matters. Did anybody get that? Because that's powerful. If you understand, and hopefully a light bulb comes on that, hey, these problems I got may not necessarily just to be about me and me having a hard time. It may be that it's a distraction to keep me, from fulfilling my purpose and what God has called me to do and making a difference in somebody else's life. Perhaps these distractions are so designed so that I'll be self-consumed with me. Meanwhile, there's somebody over here. It really wasn't about me. It's that somebody over here needed to hear about Jesus, but they can't hear about Jesus because I got so many problems, I can't get to them. I'm distracted with self and my self-absorption. Why? How does that happen? Because we're not spending enough time with Jesus. So we're not attracted, that word, so we're not, let me put it this way, we're not attracted to what matters because we're distracted by things that do not matter in terms of eternity and in terms of what is important. And that's why we're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting, so that we can refocus, so that we can focus on really what matters, so that we can pull aside, put Jesus first. And when we do that, when we spend time with Jesus, when we spend more time in His Word, when we spend more time in His prayer, guess what happens? Things get in the right order. Jesus is first. Our faith begins built up. We have a spiritual urgency. There's a confidence that erodes. There's a boldness that develops and grows within us. God begins to use us. We begin to look for opportunities. We begin to not focus on ourselves, but as we're spending time with Jesus, because it's the heart of Jesus to reach people, we start seeing other people. We start praying for other people. We start picking up the phone call and calling other people and texting other people and sending messages to other people and meeting with other people and showing kindness to other people, because it's an outflow of spending time with Jesus. So how do we get boldness? We must believe on Jesus, but we must then spend time with Jesus. Number three, this is real simple. How do we get boldness? We ask God for boldness. That's really profound, Pastor. Write that one down. Ask God for boldness. And really, we see this in Scripture. The Bible tells us that the religious leaders, they were continuing to threaten the disciples. They were threatening to put them in jail and beat them and put them to death. And what was the disciples' prayer? They didn't pray, Lord, protect us, God, just keep us safe, help us just to kind of hibernate here. They're going to put us in jail. They're going to kill us, God. Would you please keep us safe, just protect me and mine? No, that was not their prayer. Look at what they prayed in Acts chapter 4 and 29. This is amazing. I love this. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. God, I pray that we won't just go back into that room and be fearful, but God, help us to have boldness. So they prayed for boldness. Can I tell you that we need as a church to have spiritual boldness in this day and age? And that doesn't mean we're rude. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. So we're not talking about throwing stones at people. What we are talking about is we are reaching them for the cause of Christ because we're on a rescue mission. It's not about us. It's about them finding Christ and finding hope. Amen? And finding an eternity in heaven. So we ask God for boldness. And I just think that's amazing what their prayer was. Keep us, don't keep us safe. It's not about keeping us safe. Don't let anything bad happen. No, it was they're going to pray. They prayed for boldness. And so they spent time with Jesus and they asked him, help us, Lord, that we may be selfless. So we're going to deny ourselves and we're not living for just today and for ourselves, but we're going to live for eternity. And so they asked for boldness. Interesting that God answered that prayer, which leads us to our next point. And this one can't be skipped over because it's all through this. And point four is receive the Holy Spirit. Now that was an instruction of Jesus. It was very important to him before he even left this earth about the Holy Spirit because he knew he was giving them a task that they could not do on their own with their own abilities. It was too large of a task. And so Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, before Jesus ascends, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses. Look at this. You will be witnesses to me. So the purpose of it was that we can be witnesses for Jesus. The purpose of it was to tell others about him. So you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that, for us, translates to our city, our state, our country, and our world, right? So we need the Holy Spirit to pull that off. And can I just tell you that what we do here at Cross Point, what we have planned this year, we cannot do it in and of ourselves. We are not enough. The lights aren't enough. The music's not enough. The preaching's not enough. We don't have enough. But God is more than enough. And we cannot do this without his help. We need his help. And in Acts 4, when the religious leaders were amazed at the boldness of Peter and John, let me go back and take it in context, really what else they said there. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9, it says that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, so not only did they encounter Jesus and realize he was resurrected, not only did they spend time with Jesus, and that was a result of that was boldness. Not only did they ask for boldness, but God answered that prayer and gave them boldness, but they also had worked in the power of the Holy Spirit that was given to them. So we need the Holy Spirit. And so before Jesus was crucified, look at this. Before Jesus was crucified, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, that this was important. Before Jesus ascended, he instructed them, right here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he instructed them that you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And he instructed them, go into Jerusalem, tarry until you be endued with power. And then you're going to be witnesses, then you'll be bold, then you'll be equipped to do what I have called you to do. So even after the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to them, that he instructed them that he instructed them about the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus, listen to this, when Jesus appeared to them in that room when they were afraid and they saw his hands in his side and they were filled with great joy, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 20. This is some extra. You can jot this down somewhere. Verses 21 and 22. And Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I have a work for you to do. I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 4, again, the religious leaders were amazed at the boldness of Peter. And they said that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for the act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed because they had just done this miracle happened through Jesus, then they explained how. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And now remember the prayer that they prayed. They prayed for boldness. God grant to us boldness. How did God answer that? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So what God knew was that in order for them to be turned from people who were selfish to selfless, from people who were timid to people who were bold, they needed to know Jesus. They needed to spend time with Jesus. And they need to be people who are asking for help, and God grants that help, and He bestows upon them the gift of the Holy Spirit that they need so desperately to be able to do the work that God has called them to do. So I'm speaking very passionately today. But why is this important? Can I just be real plain with us this morning as we on this first day of this first Sunday of the year? And that is that when this life is over, we will live forever somewhere. We will live in the presence of the glory of God in heaven or in the horror of an eternal damnation of hell. And I've never been one that's a big hero of hellfire and brimstone and fear-based preaching, but I wouldn't be true to God's word if I didn't tell you that hell is a very real place. And words are inadequate to capture the extent of it. The excruciating pain, the anguish, the horror, the outer darkness, the eternal lake of fire, the place of torment, a sorrow and everlasting suffering. It is a real place. So what we're doing as a church, we're not just here playing church. This is serious. This is eternity. But the same words cannot capture the horror of hell. On the other side of that, words can't capture the glory of heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." And can I just share this scripture with you? It's powerful. Write this down somewhere and look at it later and get happy later, okay? Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for I tell you this is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. For all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" Brothers and sisters, that is a reality. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And so write this down in your notes, if you would. Write this final note down. We are called to be bold in witness because God, people, and eternity matter. And really, those three things is really all that matters in life. Everything else is just kind of gravy, icing on the cake. What matters is God, our relationship with Him. People, because people are going to live forever. And eternity. It's not just the temporary, get my needs here. It's eternity. Eternity matters. I just think this is such a beautiful story. Jesus walks in the room where there's hopelessness and fearfulness. And when He walks in the room, everything changes and it's now filled with joy. Their joy is restored. Can I just say to somebody here today that Jesus wants to walk in this room. He wants to walk in your room, walk in your house, walk in your life. And when He walks in, everything changes. Do you need Jesus to show up today? Is anybody in a place where you know you're not where you should be in your relationship with the Lord and you need Him to walk in? You need to experience again the resurrection power. You need to recognize that He is alive. You need to recognize that He does love you. You need to recognize that with Him all things are possible. You need to recognize with Him if He's for you. Listen, who can be against you? You need to recognize that He is the God of all hope, that nothing is impossible with Him. You need to recognize that today. I want to invite you to bow your heads with me this morning, and I want to pray a prayer. If you're here today and you need to commit your life to Him, you need to believe on Jesus. You need to do that first step. You need to believe on Jesus. I want to pray a prayer with you to encounter Him. You can encounter Him, that He is alive. And He can come in and restore and change everything in your life. Can I pray with you right now? If you need to pray this prayer, would you, if you're here in this house, you say, "Pastor, when you pray that prayer, will you count me in? Would you count me in? I just need to make sure. I just need to recommit." Would you just slip up a hand if that's you? I just want to know who I'm praying with. Yes, good job. Yes, yes. Awesome. Yes. Hands going up all over. If you're watching online, would you join us online right there? Whether it's live or recorded later, it doesn't matter. Your prayer is live before God. I'm going to pray with you. Could you? I just ask everybody to join me in praying for out loud for support. Come on, let's all pray this together. And if you need to pray this, just all you got to do is mean it. Let me just help you with the word. Just say, God, today, I thank you for loving me and sending your son for me to pay for my sins so I could have a relationship with you. I believe on Jesus. You are the Son of God. I accept you now. Accept what you did. You have paid my debt in full. I turn from my way to follow you with all my heart. Come on, say it this way. I give you my life. I surrender my life to you. I give you control. You have given your life for me. Now I give my life to you. With all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer. Now, God, I pray you would guide them day by day, that you would fill their room, that you'd fill their house, oh God. You'd fill them with everything you have for them. Everything you have for them is good. You know how to give good gifts. You know how to bless us. You know how to fill our life, Lord, with your, Lord, with everything you've equipped us to do what you've called us to do and to be what you've called us to be. And Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, that your joy would fill their house, that you would guide and direct their steps. And Lord, I pray for this church, God, give us boldness. We pray, Spirit of God, we invite you to come in. We invite Jesus to come. We invite the Holy Spirit to reveal who Jesus is to us so that we may reveal him to the world through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, guide us as we do that, that we be effective this year, that we be fruitful this year, that we make a difference this year. And God, we'll give you all the praise and honor for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that when they prayed, the place was shaken. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They experienced the presence of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to pray a prayer for this church again. I want to pray for those that you feel like hope has gotten sucked out of your room. You feel hopeless, you feel in despair, you feel discouraged. In fact, I just want to have you stand with me if you would. Would you just stand with me? Can everybody just stand with me? I'm just inviting Jesus to come in our room. I'm just inviting him to show up, right? He's here. Let's acknowledge him. God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Lord, we open the door of our heart. God, I pray for that one that's hopeless. Pray for that one that's in fear. Pray for that one that's discouraged, or depressed, or despondent. I pray for the Spirit of God to come and disperse that other spirit. And God, restore and replace within us your spirit. You are a spirit of joy. You are a spirit of strength. You, oh God, are a spirit that says all things are possible. You're a spirit that reveals who Jesus is. Oh God, I invite you to come. Encourage us, Lord. Help us to know you, Lord Jesus. Help us to know you today. Help us to walk with you, to be encouraged, to be uplifted, God. Encourage us so that we may be an encouragement to others. Heal us so that you may use us to bring healing to others through your name. I thank you for doing it, Lord. I thank you for restoring joy, restoring strength, renewing strength. Would you just do me this? Would you just worship him right now? Come on, let's just worship. Lord, we just worship you, and we thank you, Lord. And by faith, we not only ask, now we receive. We receive strength. We receive encouragement. We receive renewal. We open our heart. It's never too late for you. It's never too late for you. Thank you for showing up in our room, showing up in our heart. God, we open our heart to you. Be the Lord of all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen.